This is Living Planet. I'm Neil King. And this week, the final episode of our Naturally Connected series delves into the fantastic world of foxes. Foxes have walked the Earth in some form or another for much longer than humans. How welcome they are is debatable. In Germany alone, more than 400,000 foxes are killed by hunters every year. Others fall prey to cars and sickness. Of those that manage to evade the guns, traffic and disease, there is ever more pressure to leave the countryside for urban areas and whatever fate awaits them there. Grim figures. But Tamsin Walker's episode on foxes will leave you with a smile on your face. Just put your feet up and listen all the way through to the end.
In the opening page of George Saunders' darkly comic fable, the eponymous Fox 8 explains how he came to understand, speak, and even write what he calls human, with a Y, that is. One day, he writes, walking near one of your human houses, smelling all the interest with snout, I heard, from inside, the most amazing sound. Turns out what that sound is was the human voice making words. They sounded great. They sounded like pretty music. I listened to those words until the sun went down, when all of a sudden I was like, Fox 8, crazy nut. When sun goes down, world goes dark. Skedaddle home, or else there can be danger. And danger there is. Not invited in by the cover of darkness, however, but by the decimation of his woodland home to make way for the construction of one Foxview Commons shopping mall, and the accompanying notion of some clear delineation between human and non-human territory. The story has stayed with me, not only for its unique and imaginative narrator, but for the unforgettable way it conveys a message we've heard so often by now that we must surely know it off by heart. A message about our very human ability to disregard other species in pursuit of our wants and habits, and our sometimes brutally low tolerance threshold for coexistence with the non-domesticated. Silent proof of this trait was published last year in the form of a study conducted in South Africa. It showed how some 95% of wild animals, such as giraffes, elephants, zebras, hyenas and rhinos, have evolved to be more afraid of human voices than of lions, the apex predators that have been eating them for millennia. The findings were broadly taken to cement existing evidence that wildlife around the world fears no species like it does the so-called human super predator. But does the same go for foxes, whose rusty elegance I sometimes see flitting past my front door, sitting quietly in a city park, strolling down a busy street, or striding across a schoolyard? Each encounter is as magical as it is unique, but taken together, they've left me with the impression that somehow foxes are not uncomfortable living as close to humans as they do. Maybe it has something to do with their regular appearance in books, cartoons, on greeting cards, and in advertising campaigns. A recent one, run by Berlin's public transport network, features foxes riding the underground, all grins and deep relaxation. In short, it would be easy to buy into the idea that we're in it together, by mutual consent. But that seems to be wishful thinking.
So you can really see how they try to adjust their life, let's say, to a way of not meeting people. Also in places where a lot of people live, they are more nocturnal. And in places where there's lesser people, they roam around more in the daytime.
Biologist and author Sophia Kimmig has long studied the bushy-tailed animals that have the agility of a cat but share the same ancestors as dogs and wolves. radio tracking them to get a better understanding of their behaviour and habits as co-residents of the German capital. She says their mistrust of human behaviour goes so far back that it's become embedded into their DNA.
Foxes really learn to fear people for the whole time of their existence. They've been there before humans, and they're older evolutionary than humans are. But they, as a species, know humans for quite a time now then. They always have been hunted for their fur. They still are hunted, although their fur is not used anymore.
The number that succumbed to hunters who were at liberty to shoot foxes in Germany for most of the year suggests a mutual mistrust of these animals. While terrestrial rabies, which was officially eradicated in Germany almost 20 years ago, might once have been used as a reason to keep fox numbers down, there's clearly more at play.
Tamsin will be right back after this short message.
Hi, this is Wonder, a podcast from Brazen. For 5 minutes each week, join us on an immersive and meditative sound journey where we explore some of the most extraordinary creatures, places, and natural phenomena. We give you a moment to breathe and wonder.
In ancient folklore, foxes were sometimes considered sacred, or seen as symbols of wisdom, spirituality, and fertility. In recent decades, however, they seem more one-dimensional. Literature and films that anthropomorphize foxes invariably portray them as sly and cunning, and at best, whimsical. Wherever that depiction came from, and the suggestion is often that it relates to their quick-thinking, quick-moving ability to outwit the packs of sharp-toothed hunting dogs chasing them, it seems to have stuck, preventing us from digging beneath the surface of our own learned prejudice and seeing what is there, beyond the shadow of the preceding reputation.
I think they are really clever, but I don't think they are sly. I think they are quite pure in the way that they live their life. They're quite silly. They spend actually a lot of the day with unnecessary things, like not with hunting or marking their territory, but with playing, with sunbathing, and things they enjoy.
So it's really appealing.
Yes. I mean, of course, they have to do the things that they need to do to survive, right? But they still have plenty of time left, especially in urban areas. And they know how to fill the time.
And it's in urban nature that they most often make their homes. Rough estimates put the number of foxes in Berlin at between 5 and 10,000, depending on the time of year, or 10 per square kilometre, compared to just 1 per square kilometre in the countryside outside the city. It's a similar ratio in other German cities, and utterly contrary to my conditioned beliefs around species distribution and natural habitat. But with more than 97% of Germany's 358,000 square kilometre landmass covered by water or used for farming, forestry and settlements, it's clear that there's not a lot of wild space for wildlife. So for species like foxes that can adapt, the city offers a refuge of sorts.
Within the urban area, we have all those teeny tiny little spots, sometimes also little larger ones, that are just wild, not in use, where no one comes and harvests something or intervenes. So those are the spots where you find very diverse plant communities that you don't find, for example, in forestry or agriculture, that is dominated by monocultures. And with this diversity of plants comes the diversity of insects and the diversity of birds. And so on, you know, it's all connected, so.
Absolutely. So then you get the diversity of mammals as well.
Yes, exactly.
And that diversity adds another dimension for humans living in the city. Whenever I see a fox, a raccoon, a squirrel or a hedgehog going about its urban existence, I invariably see people who stop to look, and who often exchange glances or comments of awe and appreciation. With foxes, I've noticed a particular flicker of interest. In this city where smiles and eye contact still don't come easy, the flash of a bushy red tail in a public place can generate conversations that would otherwise not have been had. Maybe that ancient folkloric reverence lies dormant within us. Maybe we instinctively know we're witnessing something magical. Or maybe we just feel connected to the world around us. Whatever it is, when it comes to foxes, I feel it too.
From a biologist's perspective, there's nothing that makes them more interesting or better than other species. But foxes in particular, they are so much fun. They really seem to enjoy their existence. And that's kind of contagious, you know, when you watch them and you see them fool around and play and everything. You cannot watch a fox family and their puppies play and fool around and not smile. That's just not possible.
Just thinking about the cause of that impossibility makes me smile. So not much was going to stop me from tagging along with Sophia when she went to visit a den where she's seen the young out playing several times already this year.
Yeah, well, you think they're going to come?
Yeah, because now it's warmer. You
realize? Sitting and waiting for signs of that playful life a short distance from the bush where the den is located, my thoughts wander to what life might look like on the inside. I could picture chambers connected by deep tunnels in the style of Roald Dahl's Fantastic Mr. Fox, where they ate not chicken, turkey or goose, but an omnivorous feast of rodents, pizza and fruits. Or a burrow shared with badgers or rabbits, which I've now learned are both documented short-term co-living arrangements, from where they could hear the vibrations of our voices and movements above them. Though we waited for some time, the foxes didn't emerge from their earthen home to roll on the meadow in the late afternoon sun. Nor did they appear when I went back to visit again. And as much as I would have liked to witness the sight of young sibling foxes reveling in the experience of simply being alive, it also doesn't matter that I didn't, because whether I see them or not, they are there, likely happier for being spared the interaction with yet another human. And honestly, who could blame them? As Fox 8 concluded at the end of his story, if you humans would take one bit of advice from a mere fox, by now I know that you humans like your stories to end happy. If you want your stories to end happy, try being nicer.
And that episode on foxes concludes our Naturally Connected mini-series. It was produced by Tamsin Walker and edited by me, Neil King. Our sound engineer was Jürgen Kuhn. As always, if you have any feedback or story suggestions, please just send us a voice message or email to livingplanet@dw.com. If you enjoy listening to Living Planet, why not share your thoughts and post a short review on Apple Podcasts? We always see those and really appreciate them. Living Planet is brought to you by DW in Bonn, Germany.